Well, wherever you're listening from, I can tell you Merry Christmas. Welcome to Tetra Soccer, your favorite sports analysis show. It's a pleasure to be here once again. My name is Adam, as always. I am your host on this interesting and merchandising journey of sweet English Premier League football analysis. And as usual, I am not alone. Richard is here with me. Good evening, Richard.
Yeah, good evening, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here. Finally, the holidays, the crazy December period in the EPL is finally here again. Can't wait.
Well, it's still looking like a December of postponements everywhere, but well, hopefully it gets better in due time. Let's go back to what happened last game week. We were supposed to have 10 games, but we ended up with just 4 games at the end of the game week. Leeds United lost woefully to Arsenal, 1 goal compared to Arsenal's 4. Very, very impressive win for Arsenal. Manchester City against Newcastle was, well, like we said in our previous episode, it was not really a contest, and it wasn't much of a contest. Manchester City won that game by 4 goals to nothing. Wolverhampton Wanderers against Chelsea was a quite tricky fixture, and it gave us a quite tricky result. Goalless draw it was at the end of the day. And finally, which was probably the surprising part, was Tottenham against Liverpool played out a 2-2 draw. And of all people to get on the goal scorers list, I know this is probably it's still a lot. It's still like 1,000 shades of weird, but I am surprised that Harry Kane scored a goal in the English Premier League. Richard, how was that one for you?
If you remember in our last podcast, I said something about how Tottenham was going to give Liverpool a whole lot, a run for their money, and Harry Kane was going to come out scoring. So I wasn't really surprised. I knew Harry Kane was going to score in that game. It was just a matter of time. I showed up. And if you watch the game properly, you see, I think Tottenham had 4 or 5 clear-cut chances in the first half to kill the game, right?
Oh, they
Those are
had a
the
lot.
moments that.
They had a lot. They could have easily beaten Liverpool by 6-7 without breaking a sweat. They just couldn't make it count for themselves. It's unfortunate, but that's how it's supposed to go. Anyways, in terms of statistics, Manchester City are still topping the table, 44 points. We have Liverpool in second place with 41 points, 3 points off. Chelsea are third, 6 points off top spot. It looks like it's getting from bad to worse for Chelsea. 6 points off top spot from a spot 3 weeks ago. Now they are 6 points off that top spot. 38 points, Chelsea in third place. Arsenal are looking to cement their place on the top four, still fourth on the table with 32 points. West Ham United, fifth with 28 points. Manchester United, with one game in hand, with 2 games in hand, if I'm not mistaken, round up the top six with 27 points. On the bottom half, we have Burnley sitting 18th with 11 points, Newcastle 19th with 10 points, Norwich City sits bottom with 10 points. Still on the statistics, we can tell you that, well, it's looking like Liverpool are going to run away with everything. First, top on the goal scorers list, Mohamed Salah, 15 goals, Diogo Jota, 10 goals, Jamie Vardy, 9 goals to his name. On the assist charts as well, I can also tell you that Mohamed Salah, a Liverpool player, is on top, 9 assists to his name. Trent Alexander-Arnold is second with 8 assists. Gabriel Jesus and Paul Pogba joins third with 7 assists. Well, finally, on the clean sheets race, Ederson Moraes has finally is the first goalkeeper to hit double digits in terms of clean sheets this season in the Premier League with 10 clean sheets to his name. Alisson Becker with 9 clean sheets. Aaron Ramsdale and Edouard Mendy are both stuck for 8. Well, let's quickly, before we go into the analysis, to bring you in quickly. Yeah, good evening, Pelumi. I want you to tell me briefly on Gabriel Martinelli. Do you think his form in recent times, do you think he's just a blip, or do you think he can actually sustain it?
Good evening, Adam. How are you doing today? As for Gabriel Martinelli, I don't know, to be honest, because he has shown this side of him before that, oh, he's actually got something up his sleeve and stuff. And then later, you just see him lose form, then lose his place in the team, and all. And then the whole cycle continues. He comes back, plays well, loses his place in the team, comes back, but. I don't know. Let's just give him a try. He's still a young lad, so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, there's not really, really much to talk about. I can tell you in our next segment, which is coming up in the upcoming seconds, we already have 2 games postponed, unfortunately, but we still have 8 games to look out for in the coming game week. On that note, I can tell you, sit tight, grab your drinks, fasten your seatbelts, and we are in for the proper ride in a few seconds. Well, welcome back to Tetra Soccer. It's still a very, very beautiful, encompassing, and as much as we can, we try to be as detailed in our analysis as possible. Well, like I mentioned in the first part, I did say we already have 2 games postponed from our upcoming fixtures, which these 2 games include Liverpool against Leeds United and Wolverhampton Wanderers against Wolves. Those 2 games have been postponed due to the increasing number of COVID cases in the Leeds United camp and Watford camp, respectively. So now those 2 games are unfortunately going to be already out of our Boxing Day or our festive period matches, like I'll put it. Game week 19 is already upon us. Like, again, Merry Christmas to everybody. Manchester City against Leicester City. Norwich City against Arsenal. Tottenham Hotspur against Crystal Palace. Burnley against Southampton. West Ham United against Burnley against Everton, West Ham United against Southampton. Pardon me for that one. All these 5 games are slated for 4 p.m. on Sunday, which is on Boxing Day. Later on Sunday as well, we have Aston Villa against Chelsea, 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. And on Monday night, we have Newcastle United, who will be playing host to Manchester United, 9 p.m. on Monday. That is how we round up the game week. Also, sorry, just to chip it in there, 9 p.m. on Sunday. Yes.
Adamola is ready to go.
All right, I'll bring him in now. All right, in the meantime, Brighton and Hove Albion against Brentford is also on Sunday night. So it's going to be, let me tell you now, for sure, it's definitely going to be a very, very packed Boxing Day for everybody to enjoy. So now let's pick these games one by one and see how far we can go with them. We are going to be starting with something, I think in this case, it's the elephant in the room, the Manchester City against Leicester City game. It's the headline fixture of the game week, if you ask me. But briefly, Richard, let me hear your thoughts on this game. Manchester City definitely want to keep that top spot. Leicester City are also not ready to let them, they are not ready to let the underwhelming season. How do you see this one going?
Okay. Watching the Leicester City play and under strength Liverpool side and still failed to come out on top was saddening. If you watch the game, you see that players like Soyuncu, I think Jamie Vardy and another of their players, I think Amati or someone, came out of the game injured. So Leicester City would have to struggle for fitness for Jamie Vardy. They said it was an hamstring or something. So it's going to be tough for them.
Well, I guess I'm unlucky. I told him out of my team already.
Unlucky was that line because Manchester City love a Boxing Day match. I don't think they've lost a Boxing Day match in seven attempts. So I just see a blow away. And good news for FPL managers, Cancelo looks likely to give an assist and score a goal. So
amen. A goal and an assist from the last game. I am still swimming in that joy right now. So hopefully, it gives me better returns again this time around. Well, away from that one, that game is 4 p.m. on Sunday. Still on the 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. This one is pretty much more straightforward. Yes, follow me.
Yeah, I want to speak on Leicester. Firstly, I have to say, Leicester City are totally useless. Honestly speaking, they are totally useless.
Don't you consider that one rash?
No, it's not rash. It is not rash. If you play Liverpool's C team, that's not Liverpool's B team. That's Liverpool's C team. And you are 3-1 up, and you draw 3-3 and lose on penalties, then they should be ashamed of themselves. Do you know how many players got debuted in that match? I saw the starting 11, and I was like, what is this that Klopp is doing? And I'm like, okay, this guy is actually having injuries, and the Carabao Cup has never been Klopp's, you know, target and stuff. So I was already expecting Leicester to breach. And then when I saw 3-1, I said, okay, this is the Leicester win. This thing could get to 5-1. And then I'm seeing that they lost on penalties. And then I saw the goals. I saw the goals they conceded. Conceded schoolboy goals. Schoolboy goals. They were defending like amateurs. Man, Leicester
they're defending, actually, because most of the goals in that game, of all the 6 goals scored during regular time in that game, actually, most of them felt like I was playing a PS4, to be very honest.
Only Chamberlain's goal was like very, very good. And then Madison's goal, too, was pretty good. The rest, he showed the goals Liverpool conceded. He actually showed the quality of Liverpool, like the players they put out. But then the goals Leicester conceded, I don't know. It made it feel like Leicester are some mid-table team.
Well, technically, right now, they are a mid-table. Is that really much of a difference?
Nah, I'm talking of...
Oh, Damola, good evening.
Good evening, let's everybody. Bring
Damola in.
Podcast.
How you feeling?
The podcast boys, good evening.
Good evening.
All right.
What's the problem?
It is Namala, let's talk about it. It is strange.
What is it?
About the Leicester Liverpool, right?
No, we are talking about Man City Leicester. Leicester Liverpool is gone. It's already been dismantled by Colony, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So this time around,
so which game are we analyzing? Oh, Leicester playing again. Okay, we know. I think everybody knows what the outcome is going to be. So this Leicester that lost the lead. Well, I was saying it in the afternoon that okay, these goals they were. Smyshell was. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was trying to get a nice angle for a photograph or something. But at the post, I do not understand. But this Leicester City will get dismantled as usual by Manchester City. Manchester City is not ready to drop points now. Like right now, they are not ready to drop points, and they will dismantle anybody on their way. So well, I think Leicester City will be one of their prey. Sorry, well, I didn't get that.
I said we all know that once Manchester start flying, they are almost unstoppable.
Yeah, sure. Everyone knows
almost.
That.
Well, yeah, I like to be an open-minded person where there's always that slight probability of something stopping.
Pep Guardiola has never dropped from the first position in all of his career.
I understand.
Now, everybody is fighting for top four finish now. The champions have decided, in my opinion.
So,
and that is sad because I'm a United fan.
It's just halfway to the season, Richard. It's just halfway. It's just match day 19.
All right.
You really
just like
as a mid.
But the guy has already gone to Bayern Munich, and the Ligue 1 has already gone to PSG. These are certain things. Manchester City have won.
Wow. So... All right, let's get into the other fixtures quickly. Norwich City against Arsenal. I'm not pretty sure there's much to discuss. I think we all agree with Arsenal winning this.
No.
Wow. Let me get your thoughts on that one then. Why do you say no?
I know of recent, Arsenal has, let's say, outperformed every other team except Manchester City in the league. Even in cup ties, you see, I saw how they breeze past Sunderland 5-1, and then you see a rejuvenated young Arsenal side. Well, have we considered the fact that these players are going to be going on a Christmas break for just one day, albeit, before they return for the match? And these are young players, inexperienced players that have not, because I remember the last Christmas that we had, there were no fixtures. So these players have not had the taste of the Premier League December rush. So I don't see them coming out on top against the
side. Let me coach you there, actually. What's the difference between the inexperience in the Arsenal squad Well, the Norwich City squad is not exactly different from that as well. Also, the inexperience, new to the Premier League, December rush kind of thing. So, does it really make any much of a difference?
Several, I think as many as 9 Norwich City players have played in the Premier League for at least 2 seasons. So, this is something that they can easily adapt to with experienced players like Cookie. And then with a manager that's, well, I say, like an experienced manager like, his name has left my... Yeah, Dean Smith, exactly, at the helm of things. You would expect that Norwich would try to use this period to struggle out and get out of their, deep sheets. Excuse me, pardon me for the language. But I see a Norwich win. A 2-0 win, to be specific.
That's very bold, actually. Well, let's move on to the next game. Tottenham Hotspur against Crystal Palace. Also, another game that I think is just... It reminds me of Wolves-Chelsea from last weekend. But let me get your thoughts on this one. Tottenham Hotspur against Crystal Palace.
I don't know, honestly. I just feel like, actually, Crystal Palace will win. I feel like Tottenham will just go down and then... Oh, did you see the Tottenham-West Ham game? West Ham had chances upon chances. But then, of course, they say it's usually the quality, the difference in quality between the big teams and the small teams. West Ham had chances. Why they didn't take a win from that game, I don't know. It's only them that can answer that. So I feel like Crystal Palace would win. I feel like they'll do the double.
Over Tottenham Hotspur in one season. Well, it's left to be seen. Let's leave it at that. Burnley against Everton. This is a case of two struggling teams, plain and simple. A case of two teams who are really, really not at the best of their game right now. Damola, Burnley against Everton. Where do you stand, or where will you be peeping your tent rather?
Oh well, this kind of games, when two struggling teams come against each other, they might decide to just continue the struggle. Or one team might just pick out the win, or they might just play out a draw. So this game, it's more likely to end in a draw. Or if it doesn't end in a draw, well, we can see an Everton win. Because right now, Burnley are not impressing. Everton has shown glimpses of hope or something like that. So, well, I might as well give it to Everton if the game doesn't end in a draw eventually.
So you are standing more. Draw, but just in case, you think Everton might actually make it over.
Yeah, and Everton win.
West Ham against Southampton. West Ham, obvious high flyers over. I think the word for them this season will be overachievers, and I don't blame them for actually doing so solid. Southampton are the team trying to stay alive. I think that's the way I would define them right now. So pairing these two teams against each other. West Ham definitely have the... I think they still have the better form ahead of Southampton. But at the end of the day, I really, really don't know where to stand. Personally, yes, I want to say West Ham would win. Maybe Antonio, that has not scored since October, will finally get his name on the score sheet. The likes of Jared Bowen, Ty Benrahma have not done things. They have not gotten things moving in a few weeks now. I don't know. Let's even go into the Everton camp a little bit. What happened to the Antonio Benrahma that everybody wanted to get a piece of at the beginning of the season? What do you think went
the West Ham
Richard?
Team?
Okay. First of all, it was the West Ham team, you ought to say.
West Ham
and
team,
also, yes, something called fatigue and having adequate players, like experienced players that make up for squad depth. That's what West Ham is lacking. Imagine,
well, Richard, I wouldn't blame that on fatigue. We are going into game 19. I wouldn't say this is fatigue. Is that supposed to be fatigue, or it just dropped form completely? And I don't know.
Michael.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to speak about the fatigue and the lack of squad depth that Richard is talking about. Now you look at West Ham. West Ham are in the Europa League. Now, for you to be able to compete in Europe and in your league, you need to have like a deep squad. You need to have
plenty of players that you know that, okay, if they are chopping and changing, they are still bringing in quality. But look at West Ham now. Look at West Ham. When they take out some of the players in their first 11, who can they bring in? Now, look at Antonio. Take out Antonio from the first 11. Who is their backup striker? I think when they take out Antonio, I think it's Bowen.
Nikola Vlasic is the second striker. Bowen is still in the
Vlasic. Does Vlasic play? Vlasic hasn't done anything to
started their cup during the week. I think that was yesterday or 2 days ago. He was still the one that started that game.
Yeah, but then look at Vlasic now. Look at the quality of Vlasic. Look at what Vlasic has done since he joined. I don't care whatever he was doing in Czech Republic. That's Czech Republic. That's behind the wall. We're talking of England now. He hasn't done anything. So now, of course, and you know, of course, for somebody like Moyes, not having a deep squad, it means that in Europe, you have to keep picking the players that will play on Thursday, the same players that will play on Thursday will play on Sunday. So after a while, fatigue. But then, it doesn't mean I'm excusing Antonio, because I feel Antonio is one useless player that I don't like.
Antonio has not scored in about 2 months now. That's actually quite
in about 2 months.
Disappointing.
Yeah, he hasn't scored or assisted. I don't think he has assisted as well.
No, he has assisted. It is Pelumi's anger for me. A player similar to Antonio for me
is Wena.
Is that Adama Traore?
Adama Traore. Richard got it. Richard wow. got it. Adama.
You guys, I feel like that's. Antonio, that's a very big downgrade compared to Antonio. Really, Antonio has not had a goal. He's not had anything. No goal, no assist this season. Come on.
I have to explain my irritation at Antonio.
Antonio was scoring goals at the start.
All right.
I took a hit to buy him.
A red card.
So your anger is more about your FPL than actually the quality of play.
but then Antonio is not a quality striker now. Antonio is not a quality striker though. Antonio will not give you 20 goals in a season.
Fair enough. I think he still has only about 6 goals this season. Maybe in the second half of the season. Maybe the second half. Anyways, let's go into another big talking point. Probably the second game out that I really, really want us to look into. And this time around, I want everyone of us to actually chip in on this one. Aston Villa against Chelsea at the Villa Park. Aston Villa, since Steven Gerrard took over, have only lost via in quotes. Let me repeat this in quotes. Aston Villa have only lost under Steven Gerrard via they are meant to lose. Let me put it that way. To the big boys. They've lost to Manchester City and Liverpool in that frame of time. Apart from that, the small boys they played against, they've taken them apart. They've taken them to the cleaners. And I am quite impressed with that. They've put it all on the line. And even against said big boys, Manchester City and Liverpool, they've played out.
They're able to get a 1-0 draw. 1-0 win.
Exactly. They've kept it so close. Just a one goal scoreline. 2-1 against Manchester City. 1-0 against Liverpool. So they've kept it so close. It's not like I think they were totally taken apart piece by piece and lost by 3 or 4 goals. They've kept it close. They played out good football, compact and everything. Yes, Steven Gerrard is. So on
the Chelsea end of things, I think what is dwindling. They are just shaking. They are not up, they are not down. They are just trying to survive. They are trying to, it feels like they are drowning, but they are trying seriously not to drown.
Is it
finally over for Thomas Tuchel?
Let me start with that question. Is the honeymoon period over for Thomas Tuchel?
Yes. Adam, there was something I was discussing with Malumi the other day. We were talking about keepers, actually. We were talking about keepers, and I was saying, okay, I was talking about the defense. And I said, okay, let's imagine this guy is actually in the Chelsea, in the old Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. And this we are as against this new Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. And Pelumi was like, okay, is there a new Chelsea? I said, yes. And not long, they played out a 1-1 draw. I think they have drawn their last two Premier League games. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think so. I think they drew 3-0-0 and then 1-1. And then 1-1. Yeah. So I'm actually having the feeling of Arsenal.
It was about 1-1.
Yeah. So I'm actually having the feeling Aston Villa might pull a surprise. It's not like a surprise. They've been impressing under Steven Gerrard. And even the Liverpool game, he said, okay, well, they played all they could play, but, well, obviously, I think they won via a penalty, wasn't it?
It was
Mosala's penalty. So he was like, okay, they played well, but normal. It's just normal to lose against the big teams. If you are a small team or something like that. But this Tomatico Chelsea, well, they might as well take them to the cleaners. And I'm very sure Aston Villa can do that. They can't do that. I'm actually backing on Aston Villa to defeat Chelsea.
Okay.
I'm backing on them.
Aston Villa to defeat Chelsea, says Damola. But let me where you stand. Aston Villa against Chelsea.
Balumi, are you there?
Balumi. Ouch. Yeah. Richard, can you pick it up from there, please? Aston Villa against Chelsea.
Well, I'm with Damola on this one. This Thomas Tuchel side is finally, like, his tactics and his style of play has finally come undone. Remember, it was quite similar to what Antonio Conte used while he was at Chelsea, and then after one season, it expired. So, in the Premier League, you don't maintain the same tactics if you don't have the same caliber of players. Chelsea have gone through a tumultuous time because 8 first-team players have been injured, 7 injured, 6 injured, and then when they return, they go back on injury again, and you see suspensions and quite a lot of troubles going on in Cobhams. So, I feel this Chelsea will definitely dwindle. Like, this is just the beginning. They will continue to go down, down, and down until they discover Tottenham. Sorry, no, we chose there. But at the end of the day, you'll definitely be struggling for European places because Romelu Lukaku
doesn't get that bad, actually.
I know Romelu Lukaku looks like a player that would have that recurring knee ankle injury till the end of the season until he gets his surgery for it. Timo Werner is on his way out to Barcelona or thereabout, as we saw in the news media this evening.
Not then, Barcelona.
Yeah. Then they will now depend on players like Pulisic.
No, Adam, who are you to decide that, comrade? Who are you to decide to Barcelona?
I just hope not. It's bad enough that Barcelona are missing a lot of chances after creation. Bringing a Timo Werner is just going to put a very big blast in that statistic.
The thing is this. Let me say something. Timo Werner is not a big team player. He's a small team player. So you can come to Barca and shine because Barca is a small team.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Wow. that was a violation.
But let me. You want to tell me something? You want to tell something?
On behalf of Bayern Munich, we give you Timo Werner. Take him and enjoy whatever you can enjoy. All right,
guys. Back to what I was saying about Chelsea. Who is like second to only Ousmane Dembele on the all-time injuries list. Then they are depending on players like Malang Sarr, Trevor Chalobah, although he has tried, and a very feisty Antonio Rudiger. Okay, also with Christiansen, 2 players that are pending their contract deals with the club. So everything at the club is
the amount of pending contract deals Chelsea have right now. I should be counting about 6 or 7 of them actually.
And they have
those ones are just the popular names.
Exactly, and they have Kai Havertz, whose only achievement for them is scored in the Champions League finals. So,
you pay 70 million in the Champions League final goal.
I expect to see Roman Abramovich's axe
fall on Thomas Tuchel in January. January ending. Very sure.
Well, we'll see how that one goes. Finally, on Boxing Day, we see Brighton and Hove Albion against Brentford. I mean, at the beginning of the season, a few episodes earlier, we all agreed that Brighton could not keep up the form they were in. I think at the point they were in the top four, I think at the match six or so. We all agreed that Brighton could not keep up. Yes.
You said you were allowing everybody chipping on the Chelsea issue. You didn't allow me chipping on the Chelsea issue.
No. Oh, you actually went off. Believe me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right, quickly, let's bring up back to Chelsea then. But you want to tell us something about Chelsea then?
Firstly, let me laugh.
Balumi is about to insult Chelsea in like 1,000 ways. Let's get ready.
You know why I'm laughing? These guys are clowns. At the start of the season, you could not get into an argument with a Chelsea fan, and the next picture they are dropping is a picture of Havertz holding the Champions League and saying, bring your Champions League. Bruno Fernandes, this one, we are top. We have Mendy. Mendy is the best. Now they've exposed Mendy. Mendy is a fraudster. Mendy is not as bad as Kai Havertz, because he paid 72 million for that one. That one, all that it means is for him to get a gun and stand on the expressway. He's an armed robber. For that amount that he paid, he's an armed robber. Bayer Leverkusen definitely had the hand in the writing of Money Heist. They did a very good job to get that kind of amount. Okay.
Not to be the odd one out, but I think a certain Manchester club paid 70 something for someone that has one goal and one assist.
Whoa, wait, oh, come
okay, in. Okay, 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 okay.
I love you, Manchester United.
Actually, that starting Manchester club paid 75 million in major transfer fees and 15 million in add-ons. I can also tell you
where done Barcelona that paid 150 million for Griezmann.
Adam,
and there is a Barcelona club. Hello, can I talk? And there's a certain club that loaned a player to another club, and the player sucked them by scoring two goals against them.
And they bought him for 120 million and then loaned him.
160. Point of correction.
Things we hate to see at Barcelona.
Well, I don't know the club that you all are talking about, but I shall know there's one club that is currently that bought a coach from a certain Iraqi league. I don't know where the fuck they sorry for that. Language. I don't know where he's bought, and now it's the players that are getting sad and the clubs.
But Adam, you are not meant to talk about Sancho. But your club paid over 100 million for a player who visits the physiotherapist more than he actually plays. We are talking of the king of injuries, the greatest of injuries,
13 time injury deal.
King of injuries. All right. Gentlemen, Boxing Day. Our final game on Boxing Day is Brighton versus Brentford. Why do I find this one interesting?
Brentford are a very unpredictable team. You don't know where they're supposed to win easily. You see them losing. I don't know, shamelessly. To clubs are supposed to win or maybe put up a fight against versus Brentford. I actually don't know who to stand against, because Brighton too, we knew they were impostors when they got into the top four, and normal they had to drop to that point, just like us now. They're impostors as well in the top four, so they're dropping back normal. So well, I don't know. I'm not giving it to either of the teams. Maybe if somebody plays an outstanding football. Yeah, what are you saying?
For the Brentford team, I feel like finishing is their problem, actually.
because I saw them against Chelsea too, like in midweek. They created chances. These guys
I saw that one. I saw the match against Chelsea.
They keep creating chances. Even when you see them against some of the big teams, you see that these guys will create chances, but then in the long run, what will happen? They'll play rubbish, they'll lose. They'll play rubbish, they'll lose. In the long run...
Let me chip in on what Paulumi is saying, sorry. The match against Chelsea in the EFL Cup in the midweek earlier, I remember seeing their winger, Henry. Henry, I saw Mbeumo create chance after chance. Even these guys came, even from set pieces, they are that good. They are that dangerous from set pieces as well. Portis Hansen, Shannon Batiste. These guys are actually, they are gigantic when it comes to set pieces. So they are good area-wise. And counter football, they know how to pass and shoot. Ivan Toney is definitely no slouch. But yet, you kind of ask yourself, what else could possibly go wrong? As in, every time, they made, no offense, with all due respect, with no offense to Chelsea fans, what I'm about to say next, but they made Kepa Arrizabalaga look like prime Manuel Neuer. I did not understand.
Yeah, I saw that. They were shooting straight at this guy, at Kepa. They were shooting, all their balls were heading straight at Kepa.
You know, the thing now is, Brentford struggled to score. Now, they are going to face Brighton. Brighton also struggle to score. Brighton are also a team that will create one million chances and then they'll finish just one chance or two chances. Brighton also struggle to score. That is Brighton's issue too this season. I saw the game against Leeds. That game, Brighton kept creating. It got to a point. Maupay missed an open net. That was when I knew it was over for this guy. That's when I knew it was over. So I feel like it's actually two teams that are like similar. They have similar issues. Mm. So whoever gets his shit boots right to actually win the game. I'm backing Brighton rather. Leandro Trossard goal.
Well, for the books, I'm saying Neil Maupay will score a goal in that game.
I have Maupay, well, my FPL. Good.
Yeah, I'm still trying to sort that one out right now. That's very, very rich. Thank you very much. Our final game of the game week is Newcastle United against Manchester United. This game is not really up for discussion until you actually begin to actually think about it and be like, well, United should win, but then United...
It is up for discussion.
Like Damola would say, United can be United.
Yeah, of course. Until United becomes United. It's not as up for discussion until United actually starts acting like United. But, well, I'm seeing because United has not actually, Manchester United, because they are two United teams. Manchester United hasn't played they haven't actually touched football since, I think, 2 weeks now, and I've missed them. So, let's see. Newcastle played the game the previous week, I think. I'm not sure. But, well, United are coming into the game fresh. So, I think they have a lot of fresh legs. And even with their fresh legs too, they can still be playing nonsense because I know what my team can do. But I'm banking on us to win actually.
No, I actually counter your point of United coming into the game with fresh legs because they haven't played in 2 weeks. Those guys had COVID.
Mm.
The full squad just started to train today because it was just today that the rest of the players joined up with the squad because I was following the whole thing. Even Rashford gave an interview where he said the squad is almost complete, but then there are some that will just join in training today. So it's not like United have an entirely fresh squad. Considering the fact that they've been dealing with COVID, the training center has also been closed due to an outbreak. Mm. So I don't feel like they're entirely fresh. But then I expect then United...
Richard, where do you stand?
Yeah, no good.
Money to fund to win, or do you think? Well, Ronaldo can just
Manchester United has this aura of giving out on Christmas, like on Boxing Day, they give presents. And when I mean present, no, I don't mean it that way. When I mean present, our last 17 Boxing Day games, we have scored at least 3+ goals in 11 of them. So I'm expecting a riot. Manchester United to go riot.
Christmas gift of a united Christmas.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo will show the world why he is Cristiano Ronaldo with an hat trick.
I'm about to captain Ronaldo, so he better show the world why he's Ronaldo. And I think the world actually, half the healthier population are actually planning to captain him as well. So yeah.
Yeah, Salah is out, so everybody is captaining him. Anybody that is wise should. Because exactly. It's Portuguese.
Because I'm not wise, United.
Let us also not forget that Cristiano Ronaldo's Premier League debut was against said opponent, Newcastle United. A spectacular game where he scored two goals. His debut in the Premier League was also against Newcastle, if you don't forget. Where he scored two goals.
Yeah, that's true. He scored two goals. Yeah.
A very, very noisy shot. And then just Lingard ended up the game. So hopefully. A repeat or something like that. Maybe this time we'll not spend more than two. I would appreciate that so much.
We would love it.
Well, on that note, we have gone through all that has to be looked at. Unfortunately, we are not going to be seeing Liverpool play this weekend. It's sad, but it just has to happen. And I would have loved it, actually. Liverpool against Leeds has this easy touch to it. Also, Wolverhampton Wanderers against Watford is also not going to be played this weekend. Outside those two games, at the moment, you can enjoy all the other 8 games that are coming in this incoming game weekend. Don't forget, there are 5 games that are to be played at 4 p.m. on Boxing Day. 1 game at 6:30 p.m. on same Boxing Day, Aston Villa against Chelsea. And finally on Boxing Day, 9 p.m. is Brighton against Brentford. On Monday night at 9 p.m., you shall watch Newcastle host Manchester United. 8 games for your viewing pleasure. Enjoy the holidays, and from everybody at Tetra Soccer, Happy New Year in advance.